Hello, and welcome to another episode of Untied Methodism, where we unravel the past to make sense of today. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Bogan, the General Secretary of the General Commission on Archives and History. And today we are continuing our series of Methodisms around the world, and we're going to focus on Methodism in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. With us today are Pierre Omojela, who is a graduate of Africa University. He served as class representative for intensive English, leading 95 students from 5 different countries. He also served as Africa University's Choir's student representative and brought singers to the World Methodist Council meeting when it was held in Durban, South Africa. After graduating in 2012, he began working as a director of communications for the Central Congo Episcopal Area and eventually worked part-time with United Methodist Communications. He is now pursuing a Master's of Divinity at Drew University. We also have Reverend Dr. Betty Kazadi Musau, who's a clergywoman in the North Katanga Episcopal Area of the Congo Central Conference. She's director of communications for this area, as well as a teacher and a strategist for women's development. She earned her doctorate of ministry from St. Paul School of Theology, and in 2021, St. Paul gave her and named her the Distinguished Graduate Award. Welcome, Betty and Pierre. It is so wonderful to have you both today on this podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to dive in. So how does Methodism come to the DRC? When and how?
Thank you, Ashley. First of all, I would like to recognize the work done by both clergy and laity from Democratic Republic of Congo in terms of reconstructing of history and an attempt of writing about history of Methodism in the Congo. Also, some clergy and laity from, particularly from Katanga province, both South Congo and North Katanga Episcopal areas, where they have attempted to write about what we'll be sharing about Methodism in the DR Congo. The question is how? How is by mission? Methodism started by mission. I remember from history that Methodism in Katanga province started with John McKendry Springer. He was an American missionary who came via Angola to Congo, especially in Kapanga, where he met some laity and they start the mission. When we speak of Methodism, we focus, the idea in the mind is mission and leadership, because John Springer was the first bishop of Katanga, Methodist bishop in Katanga. He started in Kapanga, and in Kapanga, he met laity. Also, we have recognized a laity from North Katanga who's named Kalwashi Banza Lubangi Kalwashi. He was taken from Kabalo in Tanganyika, now Tanganyika Episcopal Area, in one of the districts in Tanganyika Episcopal Area, taken by an Arab settler from Kabalo to Angola. It is in Angola where he studied at pastoral school. He became the evangelist. He became a Christian. He was a hard worker. Missionaries helped him even to marry the daughter of the chief in Angola. From there, he decided to go back home. In his going back home, that's where he came in Kapanga. He met Kayeke, another lay person, where they start the mission from Angola to Kapanga, from Kapanga to Mwanza, Mwanza, Malemba, Malemba, all these parties in Katanga province, from Malemba to Kabongo.
Wow.
And from that time, it was in 1917, where the first mission started in Kabongo. It's one of the districts today in North Katanga. From Kabongo, that's where they established the first mission. And how they had the strategy of the first mission, but at the same time, they under the leadership of John Springer, they had the hospital. That hospital is still serving people today in Kabongo.
Wow.
Till today. And it is run by UMC leadership. And mm-hmm. from there, we had the first mission in Kabongo in 1917. Then the mission after the mission of Kabongo, there was another mission in Kanene, 1920, if not 2022. I don't have precision because this is history. So from that time, the mission was where they were training pastors. That training, that mission from Kanene was transferred from Kanene to Mulungwishi. Today, the Faculty of Theology in Mulungwishi, University of Mulungwishi, where it was called the Springer Institute. Later on, it developed in the university today, University of Mulungwishi. You see how by evangelism, preaching the good news, and doing the social work. The school, they trained pastors from different missions, because at the beginning, there were only four districts in the whole of Katanga. From Kapanga, Kabongo, from Kabongo, Manono, Kalemi. You see, all those are different areas there where they start the mission. From that time, we recognize as UMC, laity and clergy. You see, we pay much respect, and the work by laity is visible. You see how an evangelist, a lay person, car repairer, and working hard in accompanying the first bishop to establish missions and the work of God in different areas. We, as the history developed, we also recognize that during that time, almost goes on, we had our first bishop for the whole Congo. After Bishop Springer, we had Bishop Booth. Then during the time of Bishop Booth, the church developed. After Bishop Booth, we had Bishop Shungu. Bishop Shungu, John Wesley Shungu, was our first Congolese bishop. At that time, it was in 1970. After Bishop Shungu, we had Bishop Onema. Bishop Onema, former, I'm sure he's still alive. Then they were supervising the whole of Congo. Then later on, there was a split. After Bishop Onema, we had Bishop Kimba Wakadilo, who was supervising both north, the whole of Katanga. He was elected in 1976. Later on, in 1980, we had Bishop Katembo Kainda. After Bishop Katembo Kainda, who was assigned to serve the southern part of Congo, and Bishop Goinkimba Wakadilo moved to North Katanga, where districts were moving from 4 to 11, and he sent missionaries to Tanzania. He sent almost, if I'm not mistaken, he sent four missionaries. We have Muyombi, Kapanda, Makozo. We have Kasweka Chifunga and his wife, Mama Numbi. We have also Pastor Mutwale Ntambu wa Mushidi. He's still in Tanzania till today, with his wife, Ndala Kabaka Alfonsine, also Pastor Umba Ilunga Kalangwa with his wife Ngoi, they are still missionaries in Tanzania. You see how from one leader, the work expanded from Congo to Tanzania. And this southern part from Bishop Katembo, the work expanded till Zambia, where they sent missionaries. Of course, there were some white missionaries, especially American and Congolese missionaries. The work expanded. You really see that the how goes together with who. How the church was moving, expanding the whole of Congo. My explanation is just about the Katanga province. I'm sure that Pierre will also chip in with the part of Central, the part of Congo. So far, the how in North Katanga, that's what I can share. But if you need some precision, we can explore and share some precision about how the church started in Katanga. We really recognize the work of different bishops until after Bishop Katembo, because the question will be, how is the state of the church today? That's where we will share about from one episcopal area about whole Congo, from two to three, four bishops. Now we have 5 bishops, the whole of Congo.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Betty, for that background. And I will have a couple questions, but I want to jump over to Pierre and kind of get the other origin story as well, given that this is such a large geographic area. Pierre, you want to jump in?
Yes, thank you so much. I thank also Reverend Betty for this first part. I may come a bit to Katanga area before jumping to Congo. So in 1886, Bishop Taylor started a plan from Angola to reach Congo, Belgium at that time. And then he did some work until 1896, and his mission ended. He didn't proceed with the work. So from 1896, it was in 1911 that Bishop Springer now came, as Dr. BT said. So I just wanted to come to those elements before. So I will now come to the Central Congo area. And there, in 1885, we had Bishop Walter Russell Lambert. He read about David Livingstone and Robert Moffat, who discovered the Democratic Republic of Congo. And after reading, he was like, I want to go to mission to Congo. Mm-hmm. But we should say that he was a child to a missionary parent who was serving in China. And he was born there in China, Bishop Russell Lambert. And then he was sent as a missionary to China, where his father was missionary, and then he went to serve to Japan before being ordained bishop in 1910.
Right.
That is, after being ordained bishop, he now associated Professor John Wesley Gilbert, who was an African-American, and both decided to go to Congo for the missionary works. Now, Congo was under Belgium power, so they had to pass through Belgium before going to Congo, where they entered for Matadi. Now, during the colonial time, only the Catholic Church could work everywhere in the Congo. The other churches were assigned in a special district or a special province. In the central Congo called Kasai, there were some Presbyterian missionaries who were working there. Now, when Walter Lambert arrived with Gilbert, the colonial power sent them to Kasai, where they were American Presbyterian. They were like, you go to your brother American, they can give you a part for you to do your work. So they were welcomed by Presbyterians in Kananga. Now, the Presbyterian had challenges to evangelize Tetela people in Sankuru. It was really a challenge. They couldn't. So they were like, we didn't manage those people. So as you are looking for a place, you go to evangelize them. Now, they went to Wembonyama to start their evangelism. But how did they go there? There was a war, and there is a person called Mudimbi. He was a slaver bought by Arab trader to be sent to America. When they arrived in Kasai, Mudimbi was liberated by those Presbyterians, and then he was converted to Christianism. He started working with the Presbyterians, and he was a friend to Chief Wembonyama, the Tetela chief, where the mission should start. And then the Presbyterian said, we will give you Mudimbi to accompany you to Tetela people. And Mudimbi went with the two people to the Sankuru, or the tribe Wembonyama. When they arrived, the chief was not happy with white people. But when he saw his friend Mudimbi coming with them, he became okay to welcome them. So that is how the mission started. But that was, they went in 1911. And then they had a good meeting with the chief Wembonyama, and then they came back. They told him, we are going back to America. We will come back after 18 months. But they didn't come after 18 months. So they came after 2 years, in 1914. That is when the church was established in Wembonyama, that is Central Congo Episcopal area today, from where East Congo also was born. So that is how the parts, the mission went to the Central Congo. And they started in 1911, and the mission started officially in February 14, 1914.
I'm curious, you know, Pierre, you mentioned colonial rule through Belgium, and I think, Dr. Betty, you mentioned some other kind of indigenous politics that were going on. So how's Methodism received by the people of the DRC, kind of when it initially comes? Is it welcomed? Are the people of the Congo kind of suspicious of Methodism, or how is it received?
The Catholic Church was allowed to go everywhere. So when the mission arrived in Wembonyama area, there was a fight from the Catholic. They didn't want other mission or other church to come in the area. But Chief Wembonyama was leading around 48 cities or villages. So he was powerful. Now that the Methodists came, he had a word to say. And with his power, the Methodist was established, because he was managing 48 villages. So the Methodism was welcomed by the order from the chief, even though the Catholic people didn't want them to be established.
Interesting. Thank you.
Yes. Supporting the idea of Pierre. The same applies to Katanga. When Kalwashi left Angola to come back to Congo. So he traveled from Angola to Kapanga. Angola is near Kapanga, where he met the chief, Mwantiaf chief, who speaks Urund in Kapanga. The chief welcomed this evangelist who was trained in the pastoral school from Angola. He welcomed him. So when you are in our village, when you are welcomed by the chief, and the chief has a say on whatever endeavor that you will start in any area. That is why you can tell, even this is the part where it's like the inception of Methodism in the southern part of Congo, is Kapanga, where, because the first evangelist, even the first missionary, they went to see the lay people, they went to see the chief of the village. When you give when you have the approval from the chief of the village, you make sure that you are on the good land.
And Dr. Betty, you mentioned a few minutes ago that pretty quickly after coming to the area, the Methodist missionaries built a hospital. Was that common, kind of as Methodism spread? Did they begin to establish hospitals or schools or other types of social services?
Yes. They had the Bible, they preached the good news, they built schools, health centers, and educate people. When you visit our mission centers, if I'm not mistaken, you will come to realize that there is an integrated approach in our missions where there is a church, there is a health center, and there is a school. This was the approach from the beginning, and it is still going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Kabongo Hospital, it's from the beginning of the mission in Kabongo, is still there, serving not only UMC people, but also all people in the community.
That's one of the interesting things about kind of doing this series is finding the commonalities of Methodism as it spreads around the world, and the way that hospitals and schools are emphasized as kind of this social network that seeks to support different communities and you know, teach and preach along the way, but creating that kind of social support. Pierre, do you have anything to add to that about the hospitals and schools that are established?
Yes, that was like, I prepared that answer to the who question. So I will say that the same thing happened to the Central Congo also. When Bishop Walter came back in 1914, he came with three couples. There was a Dr. Mupowa couple coming from Missouri. So the couple, Mupowa was a doctor and the wife helped as a nurse. So they started developing the health area in the Central Congo. The second couple is the couple Bush. Bush had a lot of like the beers. So they even gave him the name of Mandefu, which means bears in Otetela. They were focused on evangelism. Was a pastor, and the wife was in the education area. Now, the third couple is the Stockwell, also called Wan Lokadi in Otetela. The couple was in charge of agriculture and industry, like building churches, cutting trees, making wood. Those are the three couples which Lambert came with in 1914. So they were oriented to evangelism, education, medical, and also agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I give you the case of Kalwashi, the one who was trained as an evangelist in Angola. He was a car repairer. He was a house builder. You see, as an evangelist, you can build your house. He can repair people's cars. He has a hard worker. So he all in one person as an evangelist. So he within himself, he was sustainable.
Yeah, multitasking, right? So when they're doing this work, I'm assuming they're not preaching in English. Are they learning indigenous languages? Are they speaking French? Like what form are they communicating in?
Yes, like for the Central Congo Episcopal area, like I said, Mudimbi, when he was converted to Christianity by Presbyterians, he also learned English.
Okay.
So he helped to translate from English to Otetela, to Tetela people, and he was also used for the teaching of Tetela to the white people and English to some Tetela people. So that is how they were able to communicate. So white people learned local languages, and then some leaders, indigenous leaders, also learned English.
I think it's the same. It's just the same what he's saying. I support the idea. Because the guy that I'm sharing with, he was a translator and the music composer. You see, he went to school to help to translate, start helping translation with the missionaries, though he was the evangelist.
Dr. Betty, in your earlier intro, you mentioned a transition from, I believe it was Bishop Booth to Bishop John Wesley Shongo around 1970, and he was the first Congolese bishop. Was there a shift in either how Methodism was received, or kind of what was that transition like going from kind of a missionary, you know, American bishop to kind of the first Congolese bishop?
From my reading, I think I didn't do some research much on Bishop Shongo. I think he was educated, Bishop Shongo, as he was elected the first Congolese bishop. I think Pierre, can you comment on Bishop Shongo?
Yes, so. After the independence of the country in 1960, there was some instability in the country, so the white people should come back to the U.S. So the leadership, they should find someone to take the leadership. Then Bishop Shongo was elected in 1964, and he was leading the all Congo as a bishop from 64 to 72. So with the instability in the country, his effort was to put like the structure, how can we maintain what was left to us from the white people, and how can we proceed with the work for the time to come. So he served the whole Congo during that period, trying to maintain the legacy left by the white people. And then in 1972, another bishop was elected. Bishop Onema was elected in 1972. He was leading also the all Congo until Bishop Ngoi Kimba Wakadilo was elected in 1976, Dr. Betty said. So in 1980, Bishop Katembo was elected. 1996, Bishop Tambo Nkulu was elected. And 2005, Bishop Yemba. Oh, this is now talking Central Congo. Bishop Yemba was elected in 2005, Bishop Unda in 2012, and then in 2017, three bishops were elected. Bishop Lunge for Central Congo, Bishop Kasap for South Congo, Bishop Mande for North Katanga. And recently, 2025, three bishops were elected. Bishop Kalema for East Congo, Bishop Mujinga for South Congo and Zambia, and Bishop Nelson Ngoi for Tanganyika Annual Conference.
In 2025, Bishop Kasap retired and Bishop Mujinga was elected. Bishop Mande, Bishop Tambo retired in 2016. Bishop Mande was elected in 2017. Bishop Unda retired and Bishop Antoine Kalima was elected recently 2025 in Kitwe. Now we have a new episcopal area, which is Tanganyika episcopal area with Bishop Kalombo elected as Bishop Kalombo elected as Bishop of Tanganyika.
So it sounds like within really kind of 100 years, Methodism within the DRC has gone from one episcopal area to five.
Yes. Is that right? Yes.
Was this a gradual growth, or was there a certain period where Methodism really began to multiply and spread?
I think there is an issue of spread, the issue of distance,
mm-hmm.
and growth and distance, because Congo is huge. And we need to salute the work of Bishop John Wesley Shongo as he was supervising the whole of Congo, and Bishop Onema. I think it is hard to leave Kinshasa and go and supervise. Katanga is I think 2 or 3 hours on the plane. It is far. So the issue of distance and the growth of the growth because of the impact of evangelism. That's the point on which has contributed to from one bishop to five bishops within a country.
For our listeners who don't know, the Democratic Republic of Congo is estimated to be about 3 times the size of the state of Texas. So that is a very large swath of land. And yes, Pierre, please add.
Yes, another element which facilitated the multiplication of episcopal areas is also the decentralization aspect. Many people wanted to have their own leader or leadership, like the country is big. So we have more than 300 tribes in Congo. So sometimes some people would want to be led by someone from their area. And as the church grow, they will want to be led by someone from the tribe. And so what they do is they do good evangelism, because for you to become an episcopal area, you should have like a number of pastors, number of membership. So they do an effort to reach that level so that the General Conference can allow them to become an episcopal area. So the white people left one episcopal area in Congo, and the indigenous people have done the work, multiply, and now we have 5 episcopal areas. Last year, it was 14 annual conference with 2 mission works in Central Africa Republic and the Congo Brazzaville. And now there are new provisional annual conferences. And I think by the time the annual conferences will take place, we may have maybe 18 or 16 annual conferences soon. Because there are in Central Congo, there is one provisional annual conference. In East Congo, there are two provisional annual conferences. In South Congo, there was in the Southwest annual conference was split to two. But as for now, after the Central Conference, they become again one. They continue working as one. So, but we hope as the new bishop is in place, everything, there will be also new annual conferences coming from there. Reverend Betsy, we correct. I know that in Tanganyika may be split to two annual conferences, and in North Katanga also we may have a new. So, in the future time, we may have 18 or more annual conferences. I wanted to add that in the number of many bishops, like after the US, Congo will come, the second country with more bishops, and then the Philippines, and then other camps. So that is how Congo is as United Methodists.
I think that we have criteria that need to be considered, like, that need to be considered to be given an episcopal area and to enlarge the number of bishops in the Congo. We have geography is number one, and also number of pastors and mission work. Also, we need to look at the impact of Methodism in the Congo. There are a lot of political leaders in Congo who have been trained in the UMC schools. They can tell, because our schools have impacted a lot of people within the country. And you can tell the impact of the church in the state. The case of Congo is one of the talking case. So we acknowledge the work of the mission within the country.
As we start to kind of wrap this episode up, I want to hear from both of you, what is something that you hope our listeners kind of take away, either about the history or United Methodism as it currently is within the DRC? And Pierre, we'll start with you, and Dr. Betty will give you kind of the final word. Pierre?
Yes, as for now, the United Methodist Church in Congo, like Reverend Betty said, has trained and many leaders at the country level. We now have five episcopal areas. I wanted to come back to the East Congo episcopal area, which the mission in Tunda started in 1922. With Ansel Lin, and in 2012 they became an episcopal area, and now the second bishop is there. So I wanted to come back to that. So as the United Methodist Church in Congo is growing, like I said, we'll be becoming the second country with more United Methodists in the world. So the number of schools increasing, the number of pastors is increasing, the number of local churches. So the church is really growing from the work of other leadership of our bishops. I will take an example of the East Congo. You know, the bishop in East Congo officially took the office today. Like today is his first day at the office.
Wow.
He was a start yesterday. There was a big ceremony in Kindu. And mm-hmm. today he went to the office for the first day. There is a
amazing
pastor who died also. He went to the funeral, like mm-hmm. the first official work of Bishop Kalema in the East Congo.
Wow.
The east part of the country, the United Methodist Church has been involved in many social activities, humanitarian activities, because the east part is often in movement of war. So with the effort from UMCOR, the East Congo, the church has been involved in many social activities and recognized up to the state level the effort of the United Methodist Church. So, like I said, from Central Congo, the church came from Louisiana, Missouri in the US. So what I can say is that the work which the missionary started has the fruit today. Many have become Christians. Many received education. Many received health care from the church institutions. And today we can still hope that there will be the work is going forward, and there is a lot to come. Still, in many areas, there is need of some support, which we acknowledge all that we have received up to now from the church around the world, but there is still some areas which need support, and I think that is what I can say for now. Reverend Betty can add some information.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think I remember to have written an article about Kalwashi, Banza Lubangi Kalwashi. We honored early missionaries. We continue to promote our missionaries, both laity and clergy. And we will continue to rise and shine as UMC missionaries until the end of the age, because we impact in a very special way the communities, and the UMC in DR Congo is visible. Thank you.
Pierre and Dr. Betty, thank you both so much for your time today and for sharing your wisdom and for sharing the history of Methodism in the DRC. And it's an inspirational story at how Methodism can continue to grow and shape and be that presence in different spaces around the world. So thank you both. To
thank
our
you.
Listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. Thank you.
This dress was the 100 years of the Methodism in the Central Congo Episcopal area. It was in 2014.
Oh my gosh, such an appropriate shirt for today.
Thank you so much for having me today. I will be ready to come back to add some elements when the opportunity will be given. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for the time. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you.
Thank you. And to our listeners, this has been another episode of Untied Methodism. We'll see you all next time.